Eldon, who's listening in Silver Spring, Maryland, just up the road from me, Eldon. I'm right in your area, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1160 WMET. Welcome, Eldon.
Good evening. The deal breaker for me is the doctrine of original sin in your faith, where where there is a birth, there is death. You have newborns with dead souls, and that's a deal breaker for me.
All right. So the question, the point he brings up is he says that there's no living soul in a baby. Now, I can go to Thomas Aquinas, but I'm going to let you tackle this first.
Yeah, well, Eldon, I could understand on the surface it would seem problematic, but it's very important that we understand what the church actually means when it refers to original sin and the quote-unquote death of the soul. And the Catechism does use this language, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that is, does use the language of describing original sin as the death of the soul in paragraph 403. But what the Catechism is referring to, Eldon, is something based upon the teaching of sacred scripture itself. Death of the soul means that when the soul is created by God, the soul is created without sanctifying grace. That's fancy terminology in theology, which basically refers to the heavenly life, the supernatural life that God intends for us to have, which is necessary to actually exist in heaven. According to the biblical tradition and our Catholic tradition, that grace of supernatural life was forfeited for all of humanity by Adam's original sin, which was a personal sin. And by virtue of Adam being the head of the human race, he forfeited the gift of that grace being transmitted to all of his progeny. Consequently, as human beings, we are created without that supernatural life in the soul. Now, a couple of biblical texts for you, Eldon, is Romans chapter 5, verse 18, where St. Paul actually says, "Then as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the acquittal and life for all men." Notice St. Paul refers to death coming upon all men, and then he contrasts that with the life that Jesus brings to all men. Now, what life is St. Paul talking about here? He's not talking about natural life, because all of human beings already have natural life. He's talking about that supernatural life, a new life. So in contrast, what death is Paul talking about? He's not talking about physical death necessarily. He's talking about the supernatural death, that is, the soul being void of God's life. And then I would also refer you, Eldon, to John chapter 3. Verses 3 through 5, the famous born-again text, when Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born again," or born from above, as some translations say, "you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus asks, "How shall I be born again?" And then Jesus responds, "By water and spirit." But here's the point I want to draw out, Eldon. Notice Jesus refers to a new birth. Now, what do we normally associate birth with? Life. So apparently, there is a life that we didn't receive in our first birth, namely our natural birth. There is a new life that we must receive. We didn't get it in our first birth, so we must be born again to receive that new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that new life that St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, for through baptism we die with Christ, and then we are raised with Christ to a newness of life. So original sin in the church's teaching refers to the soul being without that supernatural life. And through baptism, being born again, that state of, or that condition of the soul, as the Catechism talks about in paragraph 404, is removed, and that supernatural life is infused, and thus that particular individual enters into filial relationship with God, becoming a son or a daughter. So it's important for our listener's sake and for you, Eldon, to understand that when we talk about original sin and infants having original sin, It doesn't refer to a personal sin, like they are guilty for offending God. That's not what we refer to. The Catechism makes it very clear in paragraph 404 that it's not a personal act or a personal guilt. It's a state or a condition of the soul that simply we have when we're created because our first parent, Adam, forfeited that grace for us. But thanks be to God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. He won for us that new life, and we receive it in the sacrament of baptism initially. So does that help any, Eldon?
Yeah, it does. It is problematic for, I think, people who... You're making the case for no salvation without baptism.
Okay, that's a good point, and I'd like to respond to that.
Okay. We're born with mortal sin. Mortal means dead soul. Therefore, the supernatural gifts of grace through vis-a-vis baptism, rather water or desire, is necessary for salvation, and I would disagree with that.
Okay,
all
you
right.
Bring up
now,
a very
can
good
I define
point.
Some terms here real quick, Carlo?
Yeah,
he's connecting mortal sin with original sin, and the
right.
Catholic Church doesn't do that.
Yes, right. We'd have to parse that out. I understand what Eldon's trying to get at, meaning the death of the soul, so there's sort of a mortality there. Now, it's important, though, that when we talk about mortal sin in our Catholic tradition, that refers to a personal act that offends God in such a way that it can destroy charity in the soul if committed with full knowledge and full consent. Now, Eldon's just trying to get at this idea of the soul being void of supernatural life, what the Catechism refers to, the death of the soul. So if we run with that, it's important to note. Okay, so Eldon, you were making the point about this makes baptism necessary for salvation. And I would agree with that statement. Baptism is necessary for salvation. We teach that as Catholics. We believe that because Jesus taught it in John 3:3-5, talking about being born again is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. But Eldon, that does not mean that just because somebody is not baptized, they're automatically barred from heaven. You brought up two important details, Eldon. You mentioned sort of this baptism by desire, I think was one of the things you said, and then there was something else I can't remember. But remember, Eldon, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches in paragraph 1257, God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism, but he himself is not bound by his sacraments. And that is to say, for those to whom the revelation of the sacrament of baptism has been given, they are bound to the sacrament out of obedience and love of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean for somebody who is unaware of the revelation of the sacrament of baptism can't receive the grace of baptism. For the church indeed teaches that it is possible for an individual to be saved under certain conditions outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, and even without the ordinary means of salvation, namely the sacraments. So, Eldon, in a sense, we have some common ground there. We would say, yes, baptism is necessary for salvation, but it is the ordinary means of salvation and necessary for those to whom it is revealed. So hopefully that's helpful for you.
Yes. And again, this is another great point about how we are bound, as you said, by the sacraments. God is not bound by the sacraments.
That's right. No. He's a big God, and his arms stretch wide.
Yeah, the Catechism provides for these kinds of things. So, yeah. For example, if you're driving to church to get baptized and suddenly you spontaneously combust Spinal Tap drummer style in the car on the way, God's looking out for you in situations like that.
That would be called explicit. A baptism by explicit desire to receive the grace of baptism without the actual sacrament, by explicit desire, and then the church even allows for the possibility of receiving the graces of baptism by what she refers to as implicit desire. That is to say, an individual would receive the sacrament had he or she known it. And, of course, only God can make that judgment because only God knows the secrets of the heart.